Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of August 4, 2023. This week we pray for all who are returning to school and for all who are teaching. We pray for our pastors and teachers who teach the Word of God. Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me, hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Our next reading is from Romans chapter 9. The Apostle Paul writes, I'm speaking the truth in Christ, I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. Our gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 14. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, They need not go away. You give them something to eat. They said to him, We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, Bring them here to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And the reading for our discussion is from Leviticus chapter 5. If anyone sins in that he hears a public adjuration to testify, and though he is a witness whether he has seen or come to know the matter, yet does not speak, he shall bear his iniquity. Or if anyone touches an unclean thing, whether a carcass of an unclean wild animal or a carcass of unclean livestock, or a carcass of unclean swarming things, and it is hidden from him, and he has become unclean, and he realizes his guilt, or if he touches human uncleanness, of whatever sort the uncleanness may be, with which one becomes unclean, and it is hidden from him when he comes to know it, and realizes his guilt, or if anyone utters with his lips a rash oath to do evil or to do good, any sort of rash oath that people swear, and it is hidden from him when he comes to know it, and he realizes his guilt in any of these. When he realizes his guilt in any of these and confesses the sin he has committed, he shall bring to the Lord as his compensation for the sin that he has committed a female from the flock, a lamb, or a goat for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for him for his sin. But if he cannot afford a lamb, then he shall bring to the Lord as his compensation for the sin that he has committed 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. He shall bring them to the priest, who shall offer first the one for the sin offering. He shall wring its head from its neck, but shall not sever it completely. And he shall sprinkle some of the blood of the sin offering on the side of the altar, while the rest of the blood shall be drained out at the base of the altar. It is a sin offering. Then he shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the rule. And the priest shall make atonement for him for the sin that he has committed, and he shall be forgiven. But if he cannot afford two turtle doves or two pigeons, then he shall bring as his offering for the sin that he has committed a tenth of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil on it, and shall put no frankincense on it, for it is a sin offering. And he shall bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take a handful of it as its memorial portion, and burn this on the altar, on the Lord's food offerings. It is a sin offering. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him for the sin which he has committed in any one of these things, and he shall be forgiven, and the remainder shall be for the priest, as in the grain offering. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, If anyone commits a breach of faith and sins unintentionally in any of the holy things of the Lord, he shall bring to the Lord as his compensation a ram without blemish out of the flock valued in silver shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, for a guilt offering. He shall also make restitution for what he has done amiss in the holy thing, and shall add a fifth to it and give it to the priest. And the priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the guilt offering, and he shall be forgiven. If anyone sins doing any of the things that by the Lord's commandments ought not to be done, though he did not know it, then realizes his guilt, he shall bear his iniquity. He shall bring to the priest a ram without blemish out of the flock, or its equivalent, for a guilt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for him for the mistake that he made unintentionally, and he shall be forgiven. It is a guilt offering. He has indeed incurred guilt before the Lord. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. There are things that matter and things that don't particularly matter at all. In life, we are presented with countless options for things we could be doing, and for all the things we do, there are opportunity costs for the things we are missing out on. Our time is limited. So as we go about work, learning, caring for people, engaging in activities, we often get in our heads all the things that we have to do. We should all be asking ourselves what really matters and deciding what is really important, what is actually important. I've heard of many folks, like me, having a particular dream, and it goes like this. You are supposed to graduate, supposed to complete something really big, but there is one class, one project, one I left undotted, one T left uncrossed. In other words, you have unfinished business. We all have to decide what matters and what doesn't really matter at all. I have in my library numerous books. I've gotten 10, 20, 30 pages in and then stopped. I need to have books. I need to have a library, but there are countless books. And so there are some books in my arsenal that really matter, books that are precious to me, important to me, which I use again and again, and other books for which I could probably never crack them open again, and it probably wouldn't matter. I know someone who lost his home in a hurricane. Being a pastor, he had lost his entire library. I asked him how that affected him, to which he told me that the book he really missed most was his Greek dictionary. Pastors often collect many bookshelves worth of books. Many of these I too could do without. I still buy books, just fewer of them. The following is a story that I heard in talking with a funeral director. The details are true to my understanding. A person tragically lost his life in digging a deep ditch on the farm. Because of moisture, the ditch began to collapse in on itself. The person went back to get his shovel, and the earth closed up on him. Ironically, they had the shovel right there at his funeral. That split-second decision, where he decided to go back and get the shovel, was tragically the difference between life and death. There are things that we are going to do in life, too many things that simply don't matter, that we think are important, but they are really immaterial. As we go through life, my hope is we all get better at cutting out those things which don't really matter. Technology becomes obsolete so quickly. How often would we be better off without so much of it, because it simply doesn't matter? How often do we see commercials for things that simply don't matter? In the woodworking that I do, sometimes scraps get in the way as I'm cutting, and sometimes these scraps are close to the blade. I have a habit, a very purposeful habit. When items are close to the blade, if I'm going to move them, I'm going to turn the machine off completely and wait for it to stop before I even touch them. It may be the difference between having fingers and not having fingers. The scraps themselves matter very little. My fingers do. Your fingers and your life matter tremendously. My hope is that you're never in a situation that a split-second decision is the difference between life and death. But in this life, those things can happen. In the same respect, many young people care and stew about things that won't make much of a difference. Let's face it, most people do that. Leviticus chapter 5 is about graded sin offerings. There are three sins described which required sacrifices for atonement: failing to appear as a witness for testimony, touching an unclean thing like an unclean wild animal, unclean livestock, or an unclean carcass, kind of like in our day and age, roadkill, and uttering a rash oath and bringing guilt on himself. The person is to confess his or her sins, bring a female lamb or goat, and make a sin offering to atone for his sin. In place of the lambs, two turtle doves or pigeons could be brought, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. Of these, the blood would be sprinkled on the side of the altar and drained out at the base of the altar. The person that could not afford animals could bring a set amount in the form of an ephah of flour, with no frankincense since it was a sin offering. The cake was burned to make atonement for the person, and the priest received the rest. The next transgression involves sinning in any of the holy things of the Lord. A person was to bring a ram without blemish, valued in silver shekels. If anyone sinned according to the Lord's commandments, the ram or its equivalent was to be offered as a guilt offering, and the person would be forgiven. All of these situations involve circumstances apparently where the guilt was realized later after the fact, so we are speaking again about unintentional sins. When we sin, whether unintentional like this or intentional, it certainly does matter. The laws and prescribed punishments in that day and age were strict. If we tried to carry out the letter of the laws as prescribed in Leviticus, they would be difficult to carry out. Living in such a casual society today, even seemingly small things can become big asks. As parents, we probably all see situations where we believe we had it much more difficult as a kid, and so when we ask our children to bear with us on certain tasks, we may lose patience for their lack of attention or diligence. Standards will change, and standards relax. Though the laws mattered, the days of Leviticus are ancient, far gone. In the grand scheme, beyond our current conditions, What is it that really matters? What is crucial? What is it that makes all the difference in the world? Does the law matter? According to Jesus, it does. Matthew chapter 5, in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." When I think of all the laws and regulations that were outlined for the Israelites, even if one were of their culture, who could possibly keep them all? How could someone always be right with God, on the right side of righteousness? Did you ever take a class or have a job where you couldn't possibly do all that was asked of you? Did you find yourself going home day after day with unfinished business? In this life, there's always unfinished business, always things that need to be done. If you keep up with work, you may find that you have lots of unfinished business at home. Life is full of unfinished business. In the same respect, we look at our deeds and compare how we ought to be, and with us there is an incomplete righteousness. Things unfulfilled. Not one iota, not one dot of the law will pass away until all is accomplished. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3 says that no one is righteous. If the law does not pass away, how do we get right with God? The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." God fulfilled the requirements for us. When we sin, it puts us at odds with God. Sometimes, in defiance, people sin all the more. It always drives a greater wedge between us and God. We may get to the point where we come to believe there is no return. Have you ever wronged a really great person, lost the respect of someone who is really important to you? Did you want to restore and repair that relationship? You certainly won't restore it by continuing to wrong them. You want to make restitution, but sometimes you can't make up for the past. Now think about our holy and righteous God. We certainly do want to please Him. We forget how utterly generous God is. Hear what it says in John chapter 6. "But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, 'This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father.' After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you want to go away as well?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.'" If God is the highest authority, the source of life, forgiveness, and salvation, as He is, there is no one else to whom we can go. The parable of the prodigal son demonstrated that the only place to go was right back to the Father. Jesus tells us that the Father takes back those who come in repentance, and God takes them back with open arms. He binds us up and heals us. He restores us. Jesus earned this return for us by paying for all our sins through His death on the cross. The unrelenting requirements of the law are fulfilled by Jesus. Jesus said, "The law will not pass away until all is accomplished." We also deal with the sinful flesh. The Apostle Paul writes, "Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 8. The "until all is accomplished" part of the law situation is fulfilled by Jesus, who died for us on the cross and rose again. And then all was accomplished. Again, Paul writes, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Years ago, my father took me to see Return of the Jedi. And toward the end of that movie, the ultimate bad guy, Darth Vader, has a choice. He can follow the Emperor, who is evil, or save his son Luke, who the Emperor is busy electrocuting with beams shot from his fingers. When you think about it, science fiction can sound pretty outrageous and outlandish on paper. But anyone who has seen this knows exactly what I'm talking about. At any rate, Darth Vader can either watch his own son be destroyed or throw the Emperor into the deep reactors of the Death Star, throwing him over the rail. You can see him struggling with the decision, looking at the Emperor, looking at his son, and then finally throwing the Emperor overboard. In us, the cruel Emperor is the flesh. But pay attention to this. In baptism, God drowns the flesh and puts his Spirit within us. That means we claim the work, the life, and salvation of Jesus as our own. Jesus has saved us out of sin and death. All the unfinished business there ever was in regards to the law was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. For us, that means we are made right with God. For us, that means we have salvation, and so we see that what Jesus has done for us makes all the difference in the world. In the prayer today, I begin with my own words, but I include the words of David from Psalm 51. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, for all the wedges I have ever driven between us, for all the wedges I have ever put in the way, for all my sins with which I have ever offended you, I seek to cast them aside, to put them aside and ask for forgiveness for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord Heavenly Father, restore me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation on account of the righteousness and work of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for all of those this week who are returning to school. We pray for all of those who are teaching. We pray that they will carry out their tasks, learning and growing, especially in faith towards you and fervent love toward one another. Lord, help us all to carry out our vocations in a way which are pleasing to you, that we may do work which matters, which is purposeful, and which is a blessing. We pray for our pastors and teachers who teach the Word of God, that they may do so faithfully. We pray that you'd bring us all one day to yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Our special verses this day come from Matthew chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. All of our scriptures, all of our verses come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
Lord of glory, you have bought us with your lifeblood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice. And with that have freely given blessings countless as the sand to the unthankful and the evil with your own unsparing hand. Grant us hearts, dear Lord, to give you gladly, freely of your own. With the sunshine of your goodness, melt our thankless hearts of stone, till our cold and selfish natures, warmed by you, at length believe that more happy and more blessed 'tis to give than to receive. Wondrous honor you have given to our humblest charity. In your own mysterious sentence, you have done it all to me. Can it be, O gracious Master, that you deign for alms to sue, saying by your poor and needy, give as I have given to you? Lord of glory, you have brought us with your lifeblood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice. Give us faith to trust you boldly, hope to stay our souls on you. But, O best of all your graces, we